What I love about the right short-term rental houses, we have some houses that we net $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. We have some houses that we net $1,000 to $2,000.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. I'm excited that you're here today. We've got a very special guest, George Salas. He's special because it's really the first episode that I've recorded where we're going to talk about short-term rental properties and his whole experience in that. But let me just set this up. George, a massive man of action. His leap of faith came from 10 years in the branding and marketing journey into the competitive Houston real estate space. And that was in early 2018. In that short period of time, he and his team have successfully executed 60 plus real estate transactions. That's fix and flips, wholesale deals, owner finance, subject to wraps. Simultaneously, he used his hybrid investment strategy to acquire, design, and launch what's now 40 plus short-term rental property portfolio. Generates $150,000 in cash flow a month. So it's going to be exciting to talk about it. He understands what it takes to quickly create cash flow in real estate, and his mission is to build an empire through empowering real estate investors like you and me, professionals, landlords, and entrepreneurs, to create even more cash flow through many diversified real estate portfolio, short-term income or short-term rentals, that is, and business strategies. He now teaches these strategies in a step-by-step blueprint exclusively for those who want to jumpstart their transition to the next level. George, how are you?
What's up, brother? Neil, it's a pleasure to be here with you, brother, man. And I'm excited to drop some nuggets, tell you guys a story, and really just get to know you a little bit better, you know?
Yeah, so. No, I'm excited. And likewise, I'm excited to get you to learn more about you. And then, you know, for the audience's sake, more about what you do and then, you know, what actions, what steps they should be taking to do something similar. So tell me this, what even got you into real estate in the first place?
Absolutely. So I'll take you back in about 5 minutes to my real story, okay?
Yeah.
So I was about 27 years old when I got into the nightlife, right? And what I did was I was an event marketer, right?
Oh, okay.
So I had two events. So I, for about 10 years, I built a seven-figure business that marketed events, so live events, right? And we went from different venues and just promoted events, created really, really cool events. I did up to 3,000 people in one event, but really, my story started when I was in Peru just a few years back before that, before then, right? I moved here when I was 15 years old. And then I really came here because my parents, just my mom wanted a better future for me, right? So we essentially moved from a very small town, about 30,000 people, right? And then when we moved here, my dream was to one day own a legitimate business, right, brother?
Yep.
So what I did is just started working my butt off. You know how it is, just...
Yep.
You know, one day at a time. And then that's how I landed into, you know, picking up hospitality type of deal. Right. And that's what I did for about 10 years. Right. And after that, I actually ended up opening a club in year 8. Right. I was more of a back end partner. Right. I invested almost $500,000 into a nightclub opening because I just wanted to get to the top of the mountain in my industry. And right. I did. So while invested into this club, I was the marketer, not an operations person. So I didn't really have the control of being able to operate the business.
Right.
It was a bad partnership. Guess what? I lost everything, right? Yeah. So not just my investment, but also my dignity, right? I was like, oh my gosh, my first club. Yep. And being a back-end partner, it was the look on me, but I didn't make the right decisions when partnering up.
Sure.
So as soon as I lost that, the actual nightclub or the business itself, I had to go back to promoting. But meanwhile, I was like, I have to change my life.
Right.
So one day I run into a good friend of mine. He actually gives me a call while I'm freaking depressed, bro. And
it's not just about dollars and cents, is it? It's like a mental hit.
Yeah.
Mental, physical, emotional. Right.
So every single way I was hitting, I was just put down, right? Because my dignity and my, you know, not just my reputation, but everything, right? I was down. But I told myself that I just couldn't stay down there. And then us as entrepreneurs, sometimes we get hit and we stay down. It takes us a while to come back up. So, you know, I wasn't that in those shoes for just a couple, you know, I would say a couple of weeks, but then I had a phone call from a friend of mine, you know, and then here in the real estate space here in Houston. And then he just said, George, I need you to come to my flip. So I went to his flip. And then while I was there, he was just speaking to about a group of 15 people. Right. And, you know, I walked out of there with just more passion and really like an energy, right? I've always had to drive, but I really, at that time, I didn't have the guidance, you know, in the proper way or path to really get into real estate. Yeah. That did it, you know? So when I got back home, I was motivated. I was ready to go. And then I just started studying, going to networking events, going to seminars, picking up books, courses, you know, and that's how I got into this real estate space, because I had to leave a different industry and transition. So within 6 months, I had quit the other job. It wasn't what I really wanted. I didn't really build, being in it 10 years, I didn't really build what you could do in real estate, right?
You had a job, you didn't have a business, right?
Exactly. Yep. Working in the business 100%, yep. Right? So when I turned it around and then I got into the real estate space, I was actually working in the business as well, but I was doing flips, I was doing wholesale deals. You know, I was on the trenches really learning what it was like doing it, right? I did a couple of finance, bought buying subject twos. And at the same time, I ran into short-term rentals. Like I was actually out one day with some friends. And one of my friends, she said, hey, I'm doing an apartment, you know, and I bring in $2,000 to $2,500 every month. My rent's like $1,200. I'm like, hey, are you really making $1,000 net? I'm like, yes. So that's what it sparked to me, that she didn't even own that apartment, that right. one unit, right? It was right. her secondary apartment, and boom, right? So that's when I realized like I needed cash flow, and my business was just lacking because I didn't really have consistent cash flow. So cash is king. Right. Every business needs that, right? So I got into short-term rentals first, doing apartment arbitrage.
Apartment arbitrage. So for everybody's sake, apartment arbitrage, let's simplify it. You rent an apartment. You don't own it. You rent an apartment and you turn into an Airbnb, short-term rental, and you charge something else. The delta there, the arbitrage is what you net.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was renting an apartment. You know, I launched 8 at the same time. I wasn't really afraid. I knew that this was it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these were downtown Houston. So I was renting them for $900, $1,000. So the 4 were a little bit bigger, right? So $900, $1,000. I was bringing in between 22 to 27 every single month, right?
22 to 2700 per unit?
Per unit per month. Okay.
Gross or net?
That would be gross, which gross. At the end yep. of the day, after all your expenses,
yeah,
you know, we would be between $500 to $800
net okay? per. Yep.
Net per apartment, which is pretty good, right? That's like there,
compared to what a whole bunch of us get in renting single families, it's darn good.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the difference was that while I was working in these small apartments, you know, I was bringing in 22 to 2700 and I was like, okay, cool. I was happy working in my business, developing this business and just really learning, right? On the trenches, grinding every single day, you know, and once I had about 25 of the similar, very same size one bedrooms, I started realizing that there was just a lot of work for $500. Then I hired a person to help me and then I had to pay them $2,000. Then I hired another person and I hired a VA and then I hired another VA. So by the time I realized when I started hiring, my $500 to $800 or $700 to $800 were diluted into, you know, what it's probably $200 to $300 per unit, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
Starting a short-term rental Airbnb business with apartments could be beneficial for somebody that would love to work in the business, but I needed something better. You know, I needed something that could give me a little bit more freedom, a little bit more passive income, a little bit more of me working on the business from being super strategic. Like I like the big picture thinking,
yeah.
Right? So started hiring and then I realized that it just didn't work. When COVID hit, Neil, I found myself in a little bit of a bind, right? Kind of a big bind, to be honest. And then what happened was, you know, my sales went down by quite a bit, right? That never happened. Everybody traveled, stopped. And all of a sudden, you know, I was losing money for a month. And then next month I broke even. And then I started coming back a little bit. That's when I made the change to houses, right? Mm. I had a house at the time or two houses that I was, you know, either long-term renting or owner financing. And I was rehabbing a couple. So I made those into short-term rental houses, and that's how I ran into what is now my own portfolio with 80%, 90% houses, which the houses is where we're bringing 3, 4, 5,000 on the low end for the smaller properties.
Yep.
And then 12, 13, 14,000 with our nicer, luxurious, better properties. So that was a little bit of a story. That was a little bit longer than 5 minutes. So I apologize for that.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batchleads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batchleads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
No, it's incredible. To me, it sounds like you went through, had dynamite success in the in really your first business, your first industry that you were in, but had a mental epiphany at some point, whether it was forced or by choice. But you got to a point where you're going, I need to work on this, not in this. And real estate became the vehicle for you to do so.
Exactly. So I started making the changes, you know, I would say about a year and a half into the business, into my short-term rental journey, yeah. You know, but by that time I was still doing a couple flips and a couple wholesales, yeah. But I needed to focus, right? And success comes when you narrow your focus to one thing, that's just that one strategy you want to do, and not doing 10 things halfway.
Right.
Right. So that's how it all transitioned to what it's now. And I mean, the hardest part of that was letting go of 35 of these apartments and having to move them all out and moving them into houses. I mean, that is a lot of work.
Right.
But we did it, right? So now our portfolio, from then making $60,000, $70,000 max on the best months, right? And having 30, 35 apartments, that's about $2,000, right?
Right. Yep.
Now making 150 with less properties.
Fewer. Yeah.
Fewer properties, more work on the maintenance side, but less work on everything else, right? So our goal this year is to transition to even higher cash flow and properties. So what we've done to do that is really focus on narrowing the micro markets, because in the SDR world, you just have a ton of properties out there. And I think some cities are a little bit saturated than others.
Sure.
Right. So, if you can't find a micro market where you have just a plethora of properties, like maybe a dozen properties that really do well, right? Then you might find yourself on really not making what you expected or what you want.
Yeah. Are you arbitraging today, or do you own the single family homes?
We do both. Right? We do both. So I've got about, you know, I would say 20%. So we own about 8, right? And then, so I would say 60, 70% of our portfolio is arbitrage,
sure.
Right? So, you know, we're doing both strategies. And the reason for that is we moved out all the apartments,
yep.
And we put them into houses, but we couldn't buy them fast enough, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah, right.
Yeah, so exactly. Quite a ton of cash for that. But so we're doing arbitrage. You know, I like the arbitrage model. It's a little bit tougher today because rents are so high.
Right.
So our goal this year is not to do 20, 30 properties, is to do a handful of properties that generate, you know, six figures and up, 150,000, or, you know, 150 to 200,000.
All right. So what say you when, you know, somebody, a different investor is saying, you know, I don't want to do all that work. All I want to do is just, why don't I just buy a single family home, just run it out to a family who can live there for 2 or 3 years? What's the difference between the two?
So essentially the difference is, you know, you're going to rent these houses short term, anywhere between 3 to 7 days. Sometimes you get longer bookings, just depends if you're dealing with Airbnb, VRBO, or booking.com, or maybe some temporary housing, or if you have a direct booking site, yeah. right? That allows you to so kind of make a better deal with them.
Right.
You'll land some really good deals. And those are the ones that make you even more money, right? Because you have less turnover, less expenses. So this landlord, if a landlord wants to do this deal and is renting somebody out a property for 2-3 years for X amount, I mean, they're making, would you say $500 to $700 a month is...
No, I think that's it's above average. I think you're talking, but that may be a target for someone, but I don't think that's on an average house.
Okay.
I think you're talking $200 to $300. And I'm talking for people who've got scale to their business, not that this is the only rental. Yeah, $200 to $400 in order for it to hit a buy box for them to buy it on the way in the door. If you get rent growth in a couple of years, it's a different story.
Got it. So you think even in this market, 200 to 300, I mean, I don't know too many of other markets and on the long-term rental comps sense, but I think Houston is gotten to about a little bit higher. I would say $500, which is still okay, right? But yeah, like 2 years ago, if you made $250 a month, you know, on a rental property long-term, you were lucky.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. We still got buyers in our buyer network. They'll make less than that. I mean, it just depends on everybody's buy box and how much money they're putting down, what kind of leverage, how much they're juicing it, right? Mm-hmm. But you're saying that, you know, if let's call it 500 for argument's sake. You're saying, all right, if it's $500, you're going to make multiples of that in the short-term space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I love about the right short-term rental houses, we have some houses that we net $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. We have some houses that we net $1,000 to $2,000.
Yep.
And so I could say on the lowest end, 3x of that 500.
Yeah.
Right. On the highest end, you know, we've met $7,000-$8,000 a month at one. Obviously, the difference between the long term and short term, let me just drop them real quick for you because I know you asked that and I know everybody probably wants to know.
Yeah.
In long term, your cash flow is not as big. Long and short term is going to be a lot bigger. Now, the amount of work that's involved, there is more work. There's a lot more in the short term, right? But the reward is much bigger. Okay.
Multiples, right?
You have to have more staff to run and operate a short term rental business. You have to have a cleaning crew, a maintenance crew that is active there because you'll have your guests that will expect a certain level of property, right? So you have to maintain that property up to par. But the good thing is most of these platforms now have great damage protection insurance. So the landlords aren't really coming out of pocket unless it doesn't get caught, right? So for a small operator, it makes perfect sense to go with a regular 3-bedroom, 1,500 to 2,500 square feet. Hmm. For a bigger operator, right? The margins can get thinner if you are operating with smaller properties. So for us, we wanted to, you know, just scale our business, expand. So we had to do the bigger model because we have a lot of staff, right?
Yep.
So as far as, you know, anything else, like we look at a couple of rules, right? And we've got a really cool process that's very systematic where we find what we call the sweet spot, right? It's our proprietary technique to find a sweet spot between your highest short-term rental revenue in any market, right? And your long-term rental comps or PITI, right? So we focus and we call it a 3X sweet spot or 4X sweet spot or 5X sweet spot, right? The higher the sweet spot, the multiplier, the higher the margins you're going to make. So my specialty is in finding that sweet spot, Neil.
It seems to me like that's because you've got the back end of the business built out, the people, the processes, and then it just comes down to exactly what you just said, finding that sweet spot and then doing more deals.
Yeah. And especially after doing every deal,
right?
Doing 1 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms, 4 bedrooms, 5 bedrooms, 6 bedrooms, and seeing which type of property with what amenities actually make sense for that particular market, right? So in a market that has a lot of travel nurses, right? And it has hospitals around, you know, you could do really well with 2 bedrooms. That could be the highest sweet spot.
Yep.
So you go then and really charge up on 2 bedrooms. In a market that has, you know, a park, several parks, like let's just say Disney, right? You could do really well with 4, 5, 6 bedroom houses, right?
Sure.
In Anaheim or Orlando, whatever. So right. Every market has their sweet spot just based on what's happening there.
That's exactly now, right.
Now, you could do STR anywhere in the city, but your margins, your sweet spot multiplier could be 2x. So if you're running this on your own, you could make $1,000, $2,000. But if you have a crew, you have to pay them, or you have a host, then you're taking away, you know, 15-20%. Right. Now a real management company, you know, actually brings charges about 30-40%, right?
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you manage, are you managing for other folks at the current time?
So what we did is, as we were transitioning with, we were moving all of our apartments. So we ended up picking up a lot of arbitrage, and some of these guys had extra houses. So we're managing about a handful of properties with partners who are either landlords or clients of ours, sure, right? Sure. So, you know, somebody that invests with us or something like that, not necessarily putting anything out there. And then we're limiting it because not everybody wants to pay 25-30%.
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense if you're bringing in $5,000, right?
Right.
Because your operating costs are going to be, you know, mortgage is $1,500, $1,700. Your operating costs are $1,000, right? And then 25% of $5,000 is, you know, $1,250. So that's $4,000. So the owner only makes $1,000. So sometimes it just depends, right?
Sure.
So not every property is made for that. And then what I call it, you know, if, you know, there's two ways to do this business, right? One is you can learn and operate it, which is not hard. Just takes some work, right?
Yep.
And you can automate it yourself. We teach people how to automate it all day, right? We've got awesome systems to automate their processes. So it becomes less expensive for them.
Sure.
Okay. Or you can hire someone to manage the whole entire thing for you, and you don't have to automate it because you'll take 15 to 20 hours to automate your messaging, your pricing, and then your actual property, like the tech that you put in there.
Yeah. For somebody who says, oh, you know what? This sounds freaking awesome. I want to, you know, they're pumped. They want to take some action. They want to do something on the backside of our conversation. You know, what should they do? What are the steps in order to get in their first short-term rental property?
Absolutely, Neil. So the first thing I'll recommend is for anybody, right? Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned real estate investor, right? The number one and most important step is to really start with the end in mind by learning how to market research. Okay. You need to understand your market, understand the supply versus demand, right? If the market has X amount of properties and I see people pricing their properties at this much, that might not be the best market because if they're pricing it too low, there's too many, right?
Right.
And there's several ways to learn how to actually do market research. Like we use several platforms. Like there's MatchWeiser, there's AirDNA, there is Price Labs, and there's Airbnb, and there's a couple others, but we only use those four, right? We use those four, and it's about a two-hour process to really narrow down what from all the platforms, right? Now, if you're doing just one, obviously it's going to be about 30 minutes. So that's first step, right? We really want to understand the market, what we're getting into, what's the supply versus demand.
Yep.
The second step is, what is the right property, the perfect property in that market?
In the market, yep.
Right. So we've done our research. Oh, this looks like a good place to invest in, do an arbitrage, buy, you know, launch an apartment, cabin or whatever. Then I'm going to find the size, right? The type of property, the amenities, right? The structure. What are people paying for? How many beds? How many bedrooms? What brings you the most income? Right. And then third is actually focusing once you've identified the market and you've got the right property in that market. You know, launching a good property by staging it up to par.
Yep.
Right? So your staging, your design, your setup, that is the third component, right? That could, you know, single-handedly literally knock down the revenue you bring by 20, 30, 40, 50% less if you don't stage it correctly. Okay.
Take me back to step two. So we've identified a market in step one. Step two is we're going to identify the particular property inside that market. Mm-hmm. What research tools are you utilizing in order to execute on that step?
So the perfect property you'll find in basically, once you're doing your market research, you're going to be simultaneously doing your property.
They work in tangent. Got it. Okay.
So you're spending the amount of time to figure out what works in that market.
Yep.
Right. So you find the market, you find the highest revenue properties, and then that's going to give you the property. Then after you're done, okay, cool. Like, this is the nicest property. I think this 3-bedroom, a little casitas are going to work, or villas.
Yeah.
Let me go see how much that property is, right? Like, what's the price per square foot, right? What, how many amenities they have, or what I need to really bring. Does it have a pool? Does it have a hot tub? Does it have a really big backyard, a small backyard, a view of the sky? Every little market is different, right?
Yep.
Now, once I'm done with that, then I go after whatever if this makes sense for me and my budget, right? And it hits my goal, right? I'm going to go after that type of property. Maybe if not, I might go for something right around there. But if I want to come in and say, I have this house, most investors or most any hosts that want to launch a, you know, an Airbnb property, they're like, I'm going to go find a property first without knowing.
Correct.
Right? Oh, this would be cool. It's right in downtown. But you don't know that there might be 500 more of the same type of property, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Yeah. What I hear you saying is a whole bunch of things, but one of the things I'm taking away is, you know, don't fall in love with the property, fall in love with the process, let the data lead you to where you should be.
Numbers speak for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. If numbers don't work, then nothing works at the end of the day. And I have made those mistakes. Those first 8 properties, I did not follow this process. That's the reason why I created it.
Sure.
Right? I did not follow the process because I didn't know how to.
Yeah. That leads me to my next question. Knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently from the beginning?
Well, first of all, I would have never picked quantity versus quality, right?
Mm.
Well, what I do now is premium. What I do now is quality. What I did before was quantity. Our business model is high volume. It was low volume, low output, low profits, right? It was the Walmart model. We designed and staged the properties. They were cheap, and we just wanted to have a bunch of them to really build out, right? I wouldn't start with so many of those. Now, I didn't really have the money to buy the properties that I've bought from then till now, you know, but I gained experience from it because I always knew I was going to, you know, teach other people how to do this business model.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. That was the dream.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That was your vision.
Mm-hmm. That was the vision.
You have a partner today. Is that right?
I have a partner on the education.
Yeah. So let me, I want to go down that path in just a sec, but tell me, you had a partner in the nightclub business and now you've got a partner today. Just speaking to me about just partners, how you went from a poor outcome to the successful outcome you have today. What did you learn between in vetting a partner and the questions you ask? How did you go about that differently to make sure that you've got it spot on what you do today versus what you experienced years ago?
Number one is actually have everything legal on paper up front, right? I didn't do it with the first guy, right? And then I did it with the second guy and he's great. But even before that, actually, that would be step number two. Learn and meet that person and be intentional when you do, right? That was my first lesson. When I went there, I wanted a partner, didn't mean that I was going to partner with anybody else. I actually went to meet Jerry in Arizona in person before we even partnered. So we had to learn each other, seeing if this relationship was going to work. So we didn't get married right away. We started dating.
Right.
Right. So we got to know each other. You know, we started bonding and our goals and visions were aligned. That was so huge, right? Because if you don't row in the same direction with your partner, your team, then imagine you'll end up in LA when you're trying to go to Texas.
That's right. Yep.
Right. Yep. So what else? I mean, other differences, you know, the paperwork, right? Yeah. Make sure you have everything defined.
Yeah. Specific. So what I hear you saying is obviously it's legal. Yes. But at the same time, that paperwork is expectation management. Who's doing what? What's going to happen?
Roles and responsibilities.
Roles and responsibilities. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was never defined just because I was somebody without the education that I have now on the deal structuring.
Sure.
Right? On the protection of assets on everything. Right. So I really didn't know because it was, hey, it's my first partnership.
right.
ever. I was 27 years old at the time, you know, so, I mean, you learn either two ways, right? You learn painfully by making your own mistakes, and it's expensive, painful, stupid sometimes, right?
Right.
Or you take the shortcut. I didn't take the shortcut.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Thinking about adding people to your team now or in the next year? New and experienced investors alike are turning to the definitive book on hiring written by yours truly. It's called Unicorn Hunting for Real Estate Investment Companies. How to easily attract, screen, and land a unicorn. It's the complete hiring funnel. This book is a step-by-step process. It includes the secret sauce for attracting more applicants than you'll ever need, the exact resources to use along with screenshots, so it's easy to follow, how to accurately compensate the role and find candidates who will work for 15 to 30% less than the average wage in your home city. P.S. No, we're not shipping the jobs overseas. How to weed out applicants, including the exact word-for-word my team uses in our own business. Every single email needed for the entire process, it's all included. The screening tools used when interviewing, when to make the job offer. It's so easy that 90% of the work that goes into unicorn hunting can be done by someone else or a VA. This book retails on Amazon for $49.95. But since you listen here to Real Grit, I want to say thanks. I want to give you a free copy. I just ask that you cover the shipping handling. To get your free copy along with a few valuable bonuses I have not yet even mentioned, go to www.landaunicorn.com. That's www.landaunicorn.com right now to get your free book.
Yep, that's exactly right. No, I'm glad you touched on that, on the partnership piece. It's something that I talk to a lot of people who have partners, and then we partner with lots of folks. And so it's something that comes up, and I think you to talk about what that's like to go through, to know what the, you know, how you've gone from where you were to a really good, successful spot is tremendous. So talk to me about education. You help folks really get from minimal knowledge to a successful place in the short-term rental space. What does that look like? Tell me a little about that world.
Yeah, absolutely. So when COVID happened, right. Since day one, I've always thought about starting this, you know, this education business, but I wanted to help people. I'm a Jim Rohn, Darren Hardy fan. Like, yeah. Hey, help others, you'll help yourself. Like,
absolutely.
Right, that's all right here since day one, because I've always learned from those guys, right? Especially from Darren Hardy.
Yep.
So I started developing my process, creating my coaching program, and I launched it towards the end of 2020, I built it right when the pandemic was happening because everything was slow. I was losing money a couple months and I was breaking even. So I had to choose a different direction, which was transition my business, pivot what everybody needed to do. And a lot of people did, right? Which I'm glad. And then also create an additional source of income. I did, right? 2021 came along. We launched this thing. We did great. You know, we brought five high-end clients. You know, when I mean high end, that means people that truly want to scale this business to either 3, 5, 10, 15 properties, and they're in the real estate space. So I work with a lot of investors, right? Real estate investors, wholesalers, realtors, a lot of fix and flippers and landlords.
Yeah.
Right. And so we started off with the coaching program. So we've got a 1 year program, right? We can break that down into 6 months.
Sure.
And then we teach them our five pillars, right? I told you three. Would you like to know the other two?
Please. Don't tease me. Give it to me.
So I'll just make them quickly. I won't explain all of it, but I'll just the last two.
Yep.
Pillar number one is the market research. Pillar number two is the perfect property. Number three is the perfect staging process, right? Where the setup and sign and all that.
Yeah.
Four is your marketing strategy, which includes your booking strategy, your pricing strategy,
and
your
how to get them in.
Listing, right? Your listing is so important, and people sometimes don't understand it. And when they're just getting started, they launch mediocre listings, so they don't realize why they're missing out on so much money, right? And then the most important thing on the back end, I think after you've set that up, that needs to be maintained, right?
Yep.
So because the markets in anywhere in the world in the short-term rental space are a little bit seasonal. You'll have 1 month up, 1 month down, and it could go up 10%. The next month could be down 20%,
sure.
Which is, let's just say you make 10 grand every month. right? 1 month you can make 11, next month you can make 9 or 8, and it just goes like that. Yep. Now there are high season, mid season, and then low season, right? So we focus on teaching you how to maneuver that, and that's why I created the whole year thing. Okay, makes so in pillar number 5 is guest experience. So when we had 50 properties, I saw our own guest experience, our own reviews go down because we scale so fast.
Sure.
Okay. So our focus last year was to transition. Our focus this year is to crush our guest experience, right? To get all of our accounts to Superhost. So that's pillar number 5. And truly, we just go through the pillars, right? We teach them in our bootcamp, right? Our event, our virtual event, which is in person, and then now it's virtual for now.
Sure.
And then in the program as well. Okay. So the bootcamp is coming up, which is super cool for us. We're launching our first virtual. I don't know if you've done anything virtual, but I'm excited. Yeah. At the same time, I'm nervous.
Yeah. It's a different environment when it's all virtual and versus in person. The vibe, the feel, it's just all different.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was always a guy to be super shy and not really want to speak in public. And now I'm speaking more in person than ever before.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's terrific. Hey, let's do this. I want to move on to what I call our final segment, 4 for impact.
4 for impact.
Let's do it.
So your favorite quote, don't let anything or anyone stop you from your goals or your dreams. You can do it. Why is that so impactful for you?
Because I was born in a very small town, and I had a dream of one day, you know, just being able to create a legacy, okay, and make an impact with people. And when I started in real estate, I was actually going to go for a wholesaling education business. Yeah. I wouldn't have done it from the beginning, but then I realized that market just wasn't the market that I wanted because I personally needed cash flow, right? So I have gone through so many ups and downs to get to where I'm at today that when I talk to somebody and I just have a heart to heart, like I'm having with you right now, the biggest thing in an entrepreneur is to not let the downs take you down so far that they're going to stop you from your dreams. And most entrepreneurs fail because of that. So when I make an impact and I talk to people, I say, go for it. Don't let anything stop you. These are your dreams. Yeah. This is your purpose. Like, go for it, right? Oh, that's my whole thing. So
how are you able to keep so mentally strong?
Personal development.
Yeah, personal development. Yeah.
So every single day, every morning, I'm a Brandon Burchard student, right? So I'm a Darren Hardy student every single day. You know, so when I started this journey, I had to figure something out because I needed to change myself first.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to become that person that would get to where I'm at today. And today I'm needing to become that person that I'm going to get to next year.
That's right.
To me, every day is a change. To make an impact, you have to become that person that will do that.
That's exactly right.
So that's how I was able to make the transition, because going from a toxic world, Neil, which is being in the night scene, doing these events, there's drugs, sex, and alcohol, right? And then that just wasn't me anymore. But how do you change somebody that's so used to that into somebody like this guy today? I'm 150% night and day, and I did it to personal development.
That's tremendous. Next question. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level, whatever that is?
It's fear.
Mm.
Okay. I believe that fear is emotional, right? It's not about their goals. It's not about what they haven't achieved. And it's fear. Most people have that little fear and everybody feels it, right? But when you have the personal development in you, when you're subconsciously strong and you learn this thing one day and you repeat it the next day and you're every morning, you're doing your routine, you are mentally strong in the morning. So when the fear hits you, you can't beat someone that's already running, right?
Right.
Or, you know, you try to like push somebody, they're going to run this way. But if you're standing and you push somebody, they don't have the momentum. They don't have the energy. Personal development has brought the momentum, the energy, the drive, the fire. So that's how I believe that most investors and entrepreneurs, right? They fail because of that one little thing, that fear, that subconscious, that they don't even know it's there.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Outside of real estate, man, that's a great question. We love traveling, yeah. But it is my fiance and I are getting married on March 5th.
Congratulations.
So thank you, sir. We're in love with just build this year. Our theme is two themes, right? We said we're going to build our rebuild, right? Our friendship relationships, our family relationships, which, you know, we talk to them, but when you really work on something, it is part of my personal development journey, yeah. Right? So I would say to summarize your question is that I am passionate about designing my life with the people that I love.
That's terrific.
Yeah. So in just a sentence.
What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Spreading my message.
Yeah.
And watching my clients make small tweaks every day in themselves and in their business.
That's terrific. If people want to follow you, they want to learn more about the coaching program, where can they get to, how can they do so?
There's two ways, Neil, and thank you for bringing that up. If anybody wants to work with me and you guys enjoy this, right, you can come to the event. You can join. It's a virtual event. So I think that for somebody that doesn't have any experience in short-term rentals, yeah. This is a great way to get started, right, to learn more about the industry, to learn the basics, and then to learn some advanced stuff as well, to really listen to great speakers, to really understand the whole picture of how to operate this business. By the way, I got two tickets for you, right? So if you'd like to join,
wonderful.
Your email, brother, you know, so even if it's a 3-day event, 2.5-day, but even if you attend for a little bit, you know, you really understand, I'll give you this essence of the most important hours that I believe, you know, where I'm coaching, where I'm teaching.
Wonderful.
That's one way, right? So that is our event page. And then that is luxhomepro.com, right?
Give me one more time. Lux, L-U-X?
L-U-X, homepro.com.
Perfect. We'll get the link in the show
notes. The production company behind it, okay, which is my partner and I.
Yep.
So that's where you can find the event. And then the other way to get in touch with me is through my personal website, George Salas, S-A-L-E-S, the number 360, georgesalas360.com. And all my socials are there. And we can connect to the phone, connect through a calendar link, and even my WhatsApp, my cell phone is in there. And, you know, so people can connect and, you know, I'll be happy to consult with anybody to see if, you know, we're a good fit to work together.
No, that's perfect. We'll make sure we get the links in the show notes. Tell me the live event date.
February 18th.
February 18th, coming up through the 20th. Yeah, perfect. Absolutely. Perfect. Perfect. Well, listen, George, I sincerely appreciate you coming on. This has been a wonderful understanding, especially from where you come from, because you got a unique story, you know, not being from here, immigrating here, that is a completely unique set of challenges and circumstances in which you end up here, and then really making a name for yourself in a different industry and hitting, let's call it, you know, a personal bottom, and then coming to the level of success and trying a whole bunch of things in real estate and then, you know, having success along the way, but finding your sweet spot, zeroing in on it. And now you're in a lane where you're going 100 miles an hour and having tremendous success. This is wonderful.
Thank you for having me, Neil. It's a pleasure. And man, I'm ready to watch this and anything I can do for you to support, please let me know, brother.
Yeah, no, I absolutely will. I appreciate the time. So for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide,
which includes the top five must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.